Dr. Thomas Boyce is a professor of pediatrics and psychiatry at the University of California, San Francisco. He is also one of the world's foremost researchers and pioneers in pediatric health. He has now written a book that offers hope and a pathway to success for parents, teachers, psychologists, psychiatrists, and child development experts coping with, quote-unquote, difficult children. His new book, The Orchid and the Dandelion, Why Some Children Struggle and How All Can Thrive, is a book that explores the discovery about childhood development, parenting, and the key to helping all children find happiness and success. In the book, Dr. Boyce explores the dandelion child, hardy, resilient, healthy, able to survive and flourish under most circumstances, and the orchid child, sensitive, susceptible, fragile, who, given the right support, can thrive as much as, if not more than, other children. Again, the name of the book is The Orchid and the Dandelion, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Thomas Boyce to the roundtable this morning. Doctor, thank you very much for being with us.
Glad to be here, Joe. Thank you.
What got you pointed in this direction of looking at the struggles that children have?
Well, you know, I trained as a pediatrician 40 years ago, and I was always struck, even during my training, about how there seemed to be just a disproportionate number of pediatric illnesses that a subgroup of kids had. Illness and problems with development were not spread sort of randomly over the entire population. There seemed to be a small group of kids who had more than their share of illnesses and behavior problems and mental disorders and so on. And it seemed to me that correlated very strongly with the kinds of adversity and trauma that their family and they themselves had sustained.
So you look in the book and explore the dandelion child and the orchid child. So let us begin with the dandelion child of what they possess and how we can identify them.
The way that we identified them, Joe, was we decided that we needed to get a better handle on differences between children in how they responded biologically to stress. And we did that by bringing them into laboratory protocols where we asked them to complete a number of mildly challenging stressors, things like repeating a series of digits back to an examiner or being interviewed by somebody that they'd never met before, things like that. And we monitored the two major stress response systems in the human brain, the cortisol system and the fight or flight system. And we found that there were tremendous differences between children in how they responded to these slightly artificial stressors that we presented to them in the laboratory. And we found that the kids who had minimal responses in the lab, sure enough, when they encountered naturally occurring challenges and traumas in their day-to-day real life, they really did not have any inordinate burden of illness or any increase in morbidity as a consequence of that stress. But the other children at the other end of the scale, the so-called orchid children, were kids who in the lab showed this great reactivity to stress. And in the real world, in their real lives, when being reared in high-stress conditions, they had more illness, injury, and behavior problems than any of the children in our study. But when being reared in very nurturant, supportive conditions, they had fewer illnesses, injuries, and other morbidities than any of the children in our samples. So these orchid children had either the worst outcomes or the best outcomes, depending upon the kind of environment in which they were being reared and taught.
You make the point that one in every five children are orchids who are highly sensitive to their environment and more prone to illness and breakdowns. But you also make the point that, and you make this very clear, that orchid children are not failed dandelions.
That's right. We believe that there is this spectrum of sensitivity or susceptibility to the environments that children encounter. And, you know, this is a predisposition that is determined in part by genetic differences and probably in part by early environmental experiences. But orchid children are just at a different end of the scale of tenderness and susceptibility to the world that they live in.
If parents have multiple children, there is a good chance, from my understanding in the book, there's a good chance that they will have an orchid. Is that true?
Oh, you know, I don't think we know enough about the genetics of this yet. We know that there are a set of genetic differences that seem to be correlated with a child being an orchid high reactivity child. But we don't yet know really what the genetics are, other than that there are probably multiple genes that are involved. So I would guess that it's probably more likely than not that an orchid parent would, if he or she has enough children, have at least one that was an orchid child. But I'm really sort of guessing in the dark on that question.
Much of this book is the parenting of understanding and what parents can do and the proper parenting of an orchid child. And that's the real dilemma, isn't it, of parenting and I guess first identifying and understanding and then changing or adapting the parenting style to help that child excel.
Yeah, you know, it would be a lot easier for all of us as parents if we had kids where the kind of parenting that we provide is a kind of one-size-fits-all sort of parenting. But it turns out that children have very, very different needs, even within a given family, within the same household, with the same parents.
You point out that one of the things that while orchid children need to be pushed a little bit into challenging situations so that they ultimately can know that they can cope with them. But they are concerned, and you do have to honor the fear that is present.
That's right. I think one of the most challenging things about being the parent of an orchid-type child is trying to find this fine balance, walk this fine line between, on the one hand, not being overly protective so that kids are, you know, not encouraged to go into situations that are challenging or even fearful for them. But on the other hand, not just being glib and assuming that a child can do something when he or she may not really be able to do that.
They also tend to be imaginative, that they are creative in their play.
They are. You know, I think of, as a pediatrician, I think of imaginative play as a kind of a holiday from reality for children. I think in the culture, we think of play as being relatively frivolous, trivial kind of activity. But in fact, it isn't. It's really a very functional, important part of a child's experience. Where that child learns how to do social interactions, learns things about himself or herself. And I think it's especially important for orchid children to have this opportunity to engage in imaginative play that helps them in a variety of ways.
We were talking about parenting a moment ago, and I'll continue with that because I was struck by a portion in the book when you're talking about an orchid child, that they need attention and parental attention, parental love and attention, but will often do better with just a lot of ordinary time versus just a small amount of focused quality time.
Yeah, I have really come to believe that the concept of quality time is kind of a cultural myth. I know what it's trying to convey. It's trying to convey the idea that there are these moments between a parent and a child that are especially meaningful, where a particularly important connection is made. But my observation as both a parent and now grandparent is that those times tend to come in the most mundane circumstances. They can't be arranged. They can't be choreographed. They happen when you're giving a kid a bath, or when you're taking them to school, or when you're walking home from a soccer game, or whatever. They come in routine, mundane moments of life.
It seems inevitable, though, if you have a dandelion child and they are hardy and healthy and resilient, that obviously they are still mortal, and that much yeah. can go wrong there as well.
That's right. That's certainly true.
So what can the parents of a dandelion child learn from how they perhaps parent an orchid child?
Well, the good news there is that the things that we have observed clinically to be very helpful to an orchid child, a very sensitive, susceptible kind of child, the good news is that the same things that we know are very helpful to orchid children are also helpful to dandelion children. So it's not as if we have to completely alter the kind of parenting that we do for an orchid versus a dandelion. Dandelion children will benefit from the same kind of parenting strategies that an orchid child benefits from, perhaps even more than a dandelion child.
Has this changed? I mean, much has been said about how raising children has changed, technology, the working parents. When you look at the factors around being a child today versus, say, 20, 30, 40 years ago, do those influences have a stake in whether a child is a dandelion child or an orchid child?
Well, we do believe that early exposures during the first several years of life, we often talk about the first 3 years of life, but also including the prenatal period. We do believe that exposures to adversity and toxic stress in those very early years do seem to have an influence, along with genetic differences, in determining whether a child becomes an orchid or a dandelion child. Now, whether that is any different now than it was 30 years ago, I don't know that there's any real evidence that I could put my feet firmly down on that would say that that there are more of those kinds of adversities now than there used to be. But we certainly are much more aware now of the way in which adversity exposure can be a major force in children's health and development. We didn't know that 30 years ago, and it wasn't part of pediatrics 30 years ago, but now it is.
What do you hope ultimately parents get out of the book?
You know, the thing that I think I most want parents to take away from the book is the good news that children that we often worry about most are sometimes those that also have the most extraordinary promise. What the book lays out is research over 30 years of time that shows that under conditions of support and care, that troubled childhoods of some orchid children can actually be transformed into lives that have exceptional health and remarkable accomplishment. I think the good news is that of the book is that these kids that we worry about are often the kids who become the most extraordinary, the most productive, and have the happiest and healthiest adult lives.
The name of the book is The Orchid and the Dandelion, Why Some Children Struggle and How All Can Thrive. The book is published by Knopf. Thomas Boyce, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing your expertise, Doctor.
Thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, The Orchid and the Dandelion by Dr. Thomas Boyce, published by Knopf. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.